When the world is calling, getting there starts here. With over 55 nonstop destinations, including Montreal, and 20 nonstop flights a day to New York City, travel from Columbus is closer than you think. Start your trip at flycolumbus.com.
Some crimes are never forgotten. Others are lost to history. Those are the ones we focus on in Crimes of the Centuries, a history meets true crime podcast revisiting murders, trials, and frauds that once dominated headlines. I'm Amber Hunt, your host and a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist. If you like true crime that feels both cinematic and historical, find Crimes of the Centuries wherever you get your podcasts.
The Burt Show.
Kristen, Abby, Cassie, you ever dated a mama's boy?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, yep. Abby's up.
Have I dated a mama's boy before?
Yep.
They will go to their mom for literally everything. If they don't know what to wear, call on their mom. They don't know what to eat, let's call my mom. Hey, have you met my mom yet? It's so bizarre, the attachment that these boys have to their mother.
Is it initially endearing and then becomes problematic and annoying?
It has never once been endearing to me.
No.
I want you to treat your mom with respect. I do not want you to call her up while we're having dinner.
I can honestly say, I mean, I've had some horrendous guys in my past, but I never dated a mama's boy.
Okay.
I just dated serial cheaters.
Cass?
Yes, I have dated a mama's boy, and I am so glad that relationship did not work out. She was very nice, but she definitely was... She would have been that mother-in-law, if you know what I mean, like the quintessential one where you're kind of at odds at. She's the matriarch of the family. Everyone knows it. But I remember, like, he was well in his 20s, like, and she'd walk by, she'd like, pull up your pants. And she'd pull up his pants for him, like, stuff like that. And it was just, I didn't go to church enough. I went every Sunday, but that wasn't enough for her. Yeah, and so it just was one of those, I knew there was no way I was ever going to live up to her expectations, even though she was a nice woman and their relationship was too close. Dodged a bullet.
Well, Kyle here, who wants to be on The Voice Disguiser, is married to a mama's boy. And now she's wondering here if she's in the wrong, because she probably knew what she was marrying, but has he gone too far? Hey, Kyle.
Hi.
All right. You're on The Voice Disguiser. Nobody can recognize your voice. So go ahead, air it out if you need to.
I mean, I don't even honestly know where to start. I mean, mine has never liked me, ever. And the whole church thing, that is definitely a big part of it, for sure. I'm Catholic. They're Christian. I don't think it's a huge difference, but apparently it is. I got a tattoo. I have an autoimmune condition she's not a fan of. I mean, the list is pretty long, but I think it's just because... someone took her away from her. So, but she just, it's just nonstop. And it, unfortunately, over the years, it's just gotten worse. And a lot of it is her influence on my husband. He has really never been, I mean, they're both just very wasteful with money. I knew starting off that she was pretty bad with money, but I didn't realize how bad he was until after we got married. So, that just has been a problem, really, for the last 17 years. And it finally came to a head in January, drew the lines in the sand, but he still struggles. I can tell he still struggles with, you know, her hurting her feelings because we're trying to kind of separate ourselves. We had a therapy session. I didn't go because I didn't have time to go to jail that day. So my parents were there. And his parents were there, and it was pretty much like, you got to back off, but now I'm pretty sure they hate me, but whatever.
Okay, so
I'm okay with it.
Let me circle back for just one second, okay? And
yeah.
I'm just going to play devil's advocate. So you did know what you were getting into here, though, right? Like, you knew what she was beforehand. You knew? No?
I mean, I knew she was weird, but I didn't know how weird.
Well, let's not focus on her because she's not changing.
Yeah.
So let's focus on the hubby.
Yeah.
Like, you knew.
Yeah.
You knew what he was, right?
Not all of it. The money, no. The money, I literally, on our wedding night, we left our reception. We were headed to the hotel my parents had gotten for us. And he was like, I got to stop and deposit some of that wedding gift money because I'm behind on my car payment. And I was like, oh, okay. And he deposited all that money. And then when we were on our honeymoon, I'm like, can we use some of that money, like, on some of these excursions? He's like, yeah, no. And so it was a very slow progression, finding all his money out for the next, like, couple months after. So I literally had no idea about that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And then the mom, she wasn't really as bad until we had kids. And then it was really bad.
That's odd because, well, I mean, I guess 50-50, you have a 50-50 shot here, because I know some mother-in-laws, when kids are on the line and you have leverage because you can withhold your kids from the grandparents, it actually improves their behavior, doesn't make it worse.
Sometimes it goes the other way also, where, like, they raise their kids so well that they're going to show you how to do it and you don't know what you're doing because this is your first four kids. Gosh, I don't really know what to tell you here. Sounds like it's on your husband. Like, you can't do a whole bunch here. Mom's not going to change. Mother-in-law's not going to change here. This has got to be a change with your husband.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
That's part of why we're in therapy.
Yeah. Have you tried to sit him down and genuinely explain to him how much this affects you in a relationship and that you, well, for lack of...
Oh, yeah. Yes. Yeah. We've had a lot of conversations about all this. So it's like, now this is where I'm kind of like, okay, who's more important in your life? So
yeah,
that's where we're at.
We've had these conversations before, and as much as Mo is a great family dude, you've even said that, like, there's going to be a point where, you know, if you're getting married, mom's going to be number two.
Yeah, I used to think I was a mama's boy until I started to hear the definitions that women have for mama's boy. Mine is very different. I just love my mother dearly, but my mom never intruded upon my relationships in a way where I had to sit her down. But if it came to that, I would have absolutely no problem telling my mom that she needed to fall back. That would be pretty easy for me to do.
Yeah, you have to demand with him, I think, that not I think, you have to demand to be number one. I mean, this is something he should be volunteering.
Yeah. I mean, I'm hoping that he'll start seeing that a little. I don't know. It's like he goes through spells with it. It's like sometimes she annoys him. She drives him crazy, this, that, and the other. But then, you know, then on the flip side, he'll want the kids to go over there, and the kids hate going over there. And it turns into a fight, you know, my poor mom, blah, blah, blah. And so, I don't know. I just know that it's affecting a lot of different things in our relationship. So,
yeah, it's crazy. Like, after 17 years, you finally hit your limit.
Yeah.
You had a pretty high limit there, lady.
I am too low maintenance is the problem. I'm just a chill person. I'm very opposite of him. So I just want to be happy and the kids to be happy and everyone to be happy. And now it's kind of like, okay.
Look, you've done this for this for 17 years. So somebody gave me a great quote the other day and said, when a woman is fed up, there's no turning back. And it sounds to me like you're reaching that limit right there. I think if I were you, I would fire that warning shot to him.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he's heard it.
Okay. All right. Thank you for calling. Appreciate you, Kyle.
Oh, no problem. Thanks, guys.
Bye-bye.
The Burt Show.
Why?
Spring is giving fresh start vibes. Like, suddenly you want to open the windows, drink more water, and maybe act like you have your life together. But when dinner rolls around and you're this close to ordering takeout again, ButcherBox can help. They deliver premium, clean protein straight to your door. No antibiotics, no added hormones, no mystery ingredients. Just real food that actually fuels your body instead of slowing it down. Effortless glow-up energy. But make it dinner. For over a decade, ButcherBox has led the industry with meat and seafood that's antibiotic-free, hormone-free, and independently verified. Because when it comes to fueling your body, quality isn't extra. It's everything. Clean, whole protein means better support for strength, metabolism, and that steady, all-day energy we're all chasing. As an exclusive offer, new listeners can get their choice between chicken breast or top sirloin for a year, or ground beef for life. Plus $20 off when you go to butcherbox.com/pods. That's right, your choice of chicken breast or top sirloin for a year or ground beef for life. Plus $20 off your first box and free shipping always. That's butcherbox.com/pods. Don't forget to use our link so they know that we sent you.
Some crimes are never forgotten. Others are lost to history. Those are the ones we focus on in Crimes of the Centuries, a history meets true crime podcast revisiting murders, trials, and frauds that once dominated headlines. I'm Amber Hunt, your host and a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist. If you like true crime that feels both cinematic and historical, find Crimes of the Centuries wherever you get your podcasts.
Why would you even think about it? Why would you even think about not getting your significant other a gift for Christmas?
I think my dude is about to make a massive mistake.
Oh, yeah.
And he's doubling down on it, and I don't know how to help him, and his family is on the line. This is a big deal.
All right.
We were talking the other day, and it was a few of my male friends, and I had brought up the fact that this Christmas is hitting a little different for me because I have people in my life that I didn't have in my life last Christmas. I did a friends like Christmas gift exchange that I've never done before, so there are a lot of people in my life who I'm getting gifts for, and usually my Christmases are a bit dry, so it's very different this year. So I asked the question around the male group chat of, how much approximately, if y'all don't mind sharing, have y'all spent on Christmas to see if my number was like right and average with my guy group or if it was off? And I was shocked that one of my friends who had the lowest number of us all is the friend who has a wife and three kids. So it didn't really add up to me. I'm like, okay, something's off here. Like, why am I spending more on Christmas when you have three kids and a wife? Don't add up.
Is this a budgetary reason?
Well, that was my question of, okay, how the math is not mathing, bro. So you had to come to the table. What's going on in your house? So he was honest. He was like, well, I'm gonna keep it a buck with y'all. I'm not getting my lady anything for Christmas this year. Nothing for the wife. So I'm thinking he's joking.
And this is not something that they all discuss, because I know couples will do that. Like, hey, you know what? We're adults. We don't need to do this for us. This is more for the kids. So you don't get me anything. I won't get you anything. We'll just focus on the kids.
That was his justification of it. But the way that he broke it down to me, I think he's about to make a terrible mistake, because he said this all. First, he told us it's different. Y'all not married. And I'm curious as if the ladies would agree with this, because he told me typically you get more gifts for each other before you get married, like when you're boyfriend and girlfriend. But in marriage, typically the gift exchange is not as much.
See, here are the things that I start to question about marriage and long-term relationships right here, is that the familiarity of the relationship starts to breed
contempt.
It's not contempt.
That's a Taylor Swift lyric that you just said.
It's just like, why would you not do things in the relationship when you are in that intoxication new stage? Why wouldn't you continue to do that in a relationship that's 10 years old? I guess that's my question about marriage and long-term relationships right now, is how do you keep that fire burning? And I know the practicality of it, and that comfort level is super important, but I feel like there's something special about giving somebody a gift that if you did it before you hooked up, you should do it after you hooked up.
I agree.
I give my husband more gifts now that we're married, and that's my favorite part, is watching him open it and wondering if I nailed it or not. Like, did I find something that he would love? And I think when you're in long-term relationships, you get used to it and you can become lazy. And I don't mean that in a mean way. It just, you're so used to it. It's so familiar. It's not new. It's not shiny. So you don't get that adrenaline rush anymore. You know, you don't get the buzz and the butterflies, but it's just as important. I would argue more important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I keep saying that, especially as a guy that just came off of a breakup and I'm examining what I really want in the future. We have to examine on why divorce rates are so high in this country.
You really do.
Right? So it's over 50%. So what are we doing wrong? Maybe one of these areas here is that, you know what? I know you love me, and I know I know we have this agreement here. We don't even necessarily need to show it in these little things. They seem so superficial, but maybe you do.
And with you bringing up the divorce rate, I know a lot of the time, a big part of it is financial, right? And that's where the base of his decision is coming from. He takes care of the finances in the relationship. He does all of the money. He does all of the filing, whatever that needs to be done. He has complained to her the last couple of years that she spends a little bit too much money throughout the entire year. And then when Christmas comes, a lot of money is spent on the children. A lot of money is spent on her. But in his opinion, He don't get too much. he's tired of it. So I guess they got into an argument about this at some point, and he kind of presented her with facts of throughout the year, look at what we're purchasing together for you, and look at what we're purchasing together for me and the children. And her number is apparently a lot higher than his and the children combined.
I bet.
So he had a problem with that, and he told her, if you're going to continue to spend like this throughout the year, then fine, but you're going to have to sacrifice when it comes to Christmas, because I'm not going to go out my way for you for Christmas. I can't do both.
And that was established early on in the year.
This is what he said.
Okay.
And she was reluctant at first. She didn't think that that was fair, but I guess when he came with the receipts, she got to the point of, fine, let's just do what we need to do for the kids. As long as the kids don't have to feel it, then she feels like that's the right thing to do as a parent. So he claims that when Christmas comes, he thinks that she thinks he won't do it. He's really doing it. He's like, I'm not getting her anything.
Uh-huh.
And I'm just like, bro, I don't think that's going to go well for you at all. I don't care what she said.
Abby.
I think he should still do something just so it's more of like a nod of like, hey, I know we agreed that I wouldn't buy anything, but I'm still thinking of you. And it doesn't have to be expensive. I think a very sweet card and maybe some flowers would go a long way. She's going to feel the fact that she didn't get a gift for the first time. She's really going to be feeling it. And I honestly think it'll teach her. I hate to talk about a grown woman like this, but like teach her a lesson that if you really are going to disrespect your joint finances, that there should be consequences for that. If you're going to spend $10,000 on yourself throughout the course of the year, like you don't just get to have, you know, a big gift after spending so much money on yourself.
At least your Christmas is all year round for you.
Christmas is every day.
The Burt Show.
Happy holidays from our Burt Show fam to yours. Here's a special segment from the Burt Show Youth Group while the cast members are on vacation. So, social media producer Rebecca said she got caught listening to something that maybe she shouldn't have been watching in public.
I feel like this is a safe space, and this is kind of an am I normal, because I am desperate to know if this has happened to any of you. I really hope it has, because I cannot be the only pervert on the show.
Listen, you've seen my audiobook collection.
I was going to say.
Yeah.
Santa is coming to town this year.
I love that. Okay, just to set the scene, I was working with a friend. We were at a coffee shop. She's a teacher, so she, you know, she has like those weird hours that we have. So sometimes we just go grab coffee. We have our laptops open. We hang out. We're doing whatever. Obviously, I'm the social media producer, so part of my job is literally scrolling TikTok, seeing what the big trends are, seeing what's going on, seeing what I can steal for the show and make you guys do. And one thing in particular caught my eye. As I was scrolling, it was a thirst trap. Have you guys seen like X-Men?
Yes.
Okay.
I think I know who this is going to be about. If I had to guess, out of all of the X-Men characters, I feel like it has to be Jennifer Lawrence's character.
Really?
The blue girl.
Lady. Yeah.
I think she's hot, even though she's blue.
I think it's Professor X.
Mystique.
Oh, wait, is that Storm?
He's the one in the wheelchair, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Wait, do y'all want to guess who it is?
Yeah, I think it's Mystique. Her name is Mystique, right?
That's Mystique, so. Jennifer Lawrence / Rebecca Romijn. who is hotter, in my opinion?
I agree. Fellow Rebecca.
I agree. Uh-huh.
So is that Storm?
It could be.
I don't know anybody.
thank you for contributing to the conversation, Mikey.
Katie, do you have an idea?
Wolverine.
Ding, ding, ding.
Ooh, really? Okay.
It was Wolverine. Really? And it was set to you've seen like fan cams?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like edits of like fictional characters and like seductive moments and stuff. And it was like put to the track of Sir Mix-a-Lot, Nasty Dog. Have you ever heard that?
What's the one that really popular Nicolas Chavez one was set to?
I don't know what you're talking about.
That one was going so viral. Let me find it.
Y'all have way too many thirst traps on your pages.
It might be the same song. I don't know. Let's see. Hang on. It's set to Shake That Ass, in parentheses, twerk song.
Hey, Mafia, after what we've been through, I'd like to see you try.
That ass perfect.
That was like the female equivalent of hearing the Pornhub doo-doo. Like, if you heard that on your girlfriend's phone, you knew she was... She was checking something out.
So that was a fan cam for a man?
Yeah.
Love that. Well, for the Wolverine one, at the time, I had my AirPods in, but I had forgotten that I had turned off the Bluetooth. So I kept turning it up and turning it up because I was like, oh my God, my AirPods are like so quiet. Yeah. This is so weird.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's how you get caught.
And I was particularly fixated on this TikTok because it was very hypnotic. It was like Wolverine like shaking his head like a dog, and he was like in the wrestling cage. Like, Katie, you've seen X-Men. It was like him in the cage, like shirt off. Hugh Jackman is really, really hot.
Yeah. He is.
So I watched it like it was a 30-minute video, even though it was only 15 seconds. I was like, wow, when's this going to end? So I'm sitting there. Sir Mix-a-Lot is blaring on my phone, and my friend just taps the top of my phone and says to me, so are you going to keep watching that thirst trap of Logan over and over and over again? Because, yeah, I was just blaring that in public, just watching it. Then we had like a Spider-Man meme where I was like, how do you know what I'm watching?
You know what my favorite Hugh Jackman moment is? Tell out me. Of all the things that he's done, I mean, he's been in some of the biggest movies. He's been in X-Men. He's been in
The Greatest Showman.
The Greatest Showman. You know what I used to watch all the time in high school on YouTube?
What?
Him starring in like the 1996 production of Oklahoma.
What?
Oklahoma, where the he's so good at that. He looks like a little cowboy. It's so
Can
cute.
I tell you the worst one of these Bluetooth mishaps recently? I was at my friend's apartment, and one of my other friends lives in the same block. And he was playing the music on Bluetooth. He decided to go home. Within 15 seconds of him leaving, you just hear hot MILFs in your ear. Like, and we all jumped for the speaker, turned it off. It's like, I do not want to hear about what's going to come next. It was brutal.
This is such a classic story that's happened to so many people before. And this exact same thing happened, not to me, but I was able to witness it in college in my fraternity house. There was like a communal Bluetooth speaker that everyone would connect to when you're taking a shower so that you could play music while you're in the shower.
Oh, that's fun.
And someone had just finished up showering and like went back to their room.
No.
And you just start hearing like aggressive like porn sounds.
Oh my God.
And then you could tell that they couldn't quite figure it out. Because it kept on, like, they were maxing out the volume on it. And we were all, like, we had a whole crowd gathered around. Nobody wanted to tell him, and we were all just dying laughing. It was the funniest thing ever. Well, the good news is that it's not so egregious. Like, if you didn't know what the trend was, no one would ever think. They would just be like, who's this a-hole that's, you know, blasting a TikTok over and over and over again?
Yeah, I just love Wolverine Daddy.
Yeah, so if you hear, what is it called, Sir Mix-a-Lot?
Back to the kitty, because you got pretty.
Just know it's the siren song for women who are a little bit too lonely at night.
Bury that.
It's The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
Spring is giving fresh start vibes. Like, suddenly you want to open the windows, drink more water, and maybe act like you have your life together. But when dinner rolls around and you're this close to ordering takeout again, ButcherBox can help. They deliver premium, clean protein straight to your door. No antibiotics, no added hormones, no mystery ingredients. Just real food that actually fuels your body instead of slowing it down. Effortless glow-up energy, but make it dinner. For over a decade, ButcherBox has led the industry with meat and seafood that's antibiotic-free, hormone-free, and independently verified. Because when it comes to fueling your body, quality isn't extra. It's everything. Clean, whole protein means better support for strength, metabolism, and that steady, all-day energy we're all chasing. As an exclusive offer, new listeners can get their choice between chicken breast or top sirloin for a year, or ground beef for life, plus $20 off when you go to butcherbox.com/pods. That's right, your choice of chicken breast or top sirloin for a year, or ground beef for life, plus $20 off your first box and free shipping always. That's butcherbox.com/pods. Don't forget to use our link so they know that we sent you.
Some crimes are never forgotten. Others are lost to history. Those are the ones we focus on in Crimes of the Centuries, a history meets true crime podcast revisiting murders, trials, and frauds that once dominated headlines. I'm Amber Hunt, your host and a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist. If you like true crime that feels both cinematic and historical, find Crimes of the Centuries wherever you get your podcasts.
Would a woman rather work for a man or a woman? This one comes from at non-lib take.
Here's a secret that everyone knows, but no one's allowed to talk about. Working for a female boss sucks, especially if you're a girl. Everyone always talks about the patriarchy keeping them down. Smash the patriarchy. The patriarchy is the only thing that has ever promoted me. Ask any girl when you're just having a casual conversation and she's not being a feminazi if she would rather work for a male or a female. And she will tell you. And why? Because women are jealous. Women are moody. Women are insecure. And for some reason, they take all of that out on the women working for them. Because women are mean to each other. We are our own worst enemies. And maybe, just maybe, it's because women aren't meant to spend their childbearing years in a corporate workplace. But we're not allowed to say that.
You can't speak with us!
Talk amongst yourself.
There's bad men bosses. There's good men bosses. There's bad women bosses. There's good women bosses.
Mm-hmm.
The woman boss I have had was one of the best I've ever had. Like, I loved working for Randy. She was phenomenal. She is still a mentor to this day, and she is one of the best bosses I ever had.
So here's the thing. She is not totally wrong. There is a lot of competition and a lot of jealousy amongst women in workplaces. Do you know why? Because of the patriarchy. And let me tell you why. Because it has been set, and again, not all men, not all male bosses, but what happens is when you're talking about being promoted, women and other minority groups will tend to feel like there's only room for one of us in that upper rung. Otherwise, it's too many. So if you're a woman or a person of color or somebody who's part of the LGBTQ community, and I can't speak for those other communities I'm not a part of, but inherently as a woman, and I've had bosses in the past say this to me before, like, you're fighting it out for this promotion in this like marketing department with this other girl over here. There's not room for both of us. And that's a very clear message that used to be sent. So I think some women internalize this. And yes, it does get jealous and petty. And what you need is a female boss who understands that's not how it works. But when you look at studies and stuff too, women will talk like 20% of the time and men think they're talking 80% of the time, right? And that's an actual study. So what happens is then it becomes this idea that if you had all women in the C-suite, it would be kind of weird at a company. It seems weird. But if it's all men, it's not weird. So for there to be anyone other than men, it seems strange. And so then women are like, hey, there's only room for one of us. It's a catfight.
I guess this conversation is interesting to me because, and yes, to everything you guys just said, retweet, ditto, I sign off on that. But I think the fact that women even consider the option between having a male or a female boss is interesting to me because I think if you ask the same question to men, it would be an obvious answer to which one they would choose. Like, women, I think, consider the opportunity to have a female or a male boss. Whereas I feel like if you asked men, would you rather have a female or a male boss? I feel like all men would say the same thing.
My answer would be none.
No. Yeah. I want to be my own boss. That's exactly what my answer was.
maybe that's option C.
Would I rather have a male or a female? And I want to dig deep here and be 100% honest with you guys without riding the fence. I've certainly had way more male bosses.
Especially in this industry. Because it's male dominated.
In this industry.
It is white male dominated.
Wouldn't matter. Got to be honest with you. Would not matter to me.
I bet it. And I bet if you have a female boss who's an entrepreneur and owns the business, I bet it's very different from a female boss in like a Fortune 500 company or something like that, who's also trying to work her way up the rungs of the ladder. That's where you might get some cattiness. But I hate this like gender back and forth. I like a boss that's competent. Mm. That's all I want. A caring boss who's competent and wants to get the work done while respecting me as a human.
You should have said non-binary.
Say what?
You should have said you want a non-binary boss.
Loophole.
Welcome to 2024.
Are there different challenges, though? I mean, because she's trying to speak them. Are there different challenges that you have felt working for a woman than there are working for a dude?
Not that I think I've felt, but that I've seen written about, like asking for raises to a male boss is harder than to a female boss if you're a woman and you're less likely to get it. So things like that. But I've had both female and male bosses, and it really doesn't feel like there's a difference.
Yeah, I know what she's trying to say, but I do think it comes down to competency. Like, I've had both. I mean, I've had more male bosses than female bosses, but the only women that have ever been my supervisors have, I think, have been really conscientious of the stereotypes that are put on women in terms of like we're competitive and all the things that they just said. So they've really been pushing back on that. So I feel like the tides are turning in the sense that like women are becoming self-aware that that's the pattern in the past and we don't want to continue to perpetuate that.
I think this debate is off. I don't think it should be men versus women. I think it needs to be boomer versus millennial. Mm. Would you rather have a boomer boss or a millennial boss?
I would certainly think a millennial.
Millennial. To me, because actually that's the difference. When I think of the people that were my bosses, it didn't really matter what their gender was, but it was definitely an age thing.
I don't know what generation Jimmy belongs to. I'm assuming it's Gen Alpha because that's the current boss I have in my house. It's a Gen Alpha boss.
So if I have this right, there is a face that white people are making that is confusing black people. Do I have this right, Amber?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I feel like a lot of our people of color listeners, I can't speak for people who aren't black, but I know my black behind has noticed, and it's been something that I've noticed since I was like a teenager. So if you come across a what you would assume is a non-threatening white person.
A non-threatening white person. Yeah. And this is not an oxymoron?
No. Like, you guys are non-threatening, so I like that.
Amber said that to me for the first time at our Christmas party.
Oh, yeah.
I've never been so flattered. She's like, Abby, you're such a non-threatening white person. And I'm like, thank you.
I was a little lit, you know.
Okay. I am so curious. When you encounter a white person who you do not know, what distinguishes them from threatening and non-threatening?
Well, I was joking, but one of the main things is that they actually notice that you're breathing near them. They actually pay attention to your existence. That's a first. And it's not a negative thing. Because there have been moments where I've been around some threatening white people, and they tend to clutch their purse harder, lock their door, pretend like they don't see me, that kind of stuff.
Gotcha.
Like subtle stuff that a lot of black people have had to deal with. So there is a face that some of them make when you greet them. You say, hey, before I even do it, Mo, do you know the face?
The like confused, disgusted face?
That's exactly how I would describe it.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Hey, Katie, I don't know if you're on mic, but do you know the face? What were you going to say?
Of course I know the face. Remember, I showed you the face.
Exactly. We had to get it on air, though.
Oh, okay. Yeah, absolutely.
So here's the face. It will wave, and usually we get this. It's this. It's like a...
The pursed lips.
It's like
like a Mona Lisa smile.
Like a tight lip, tight wave.
Yeah.
This tight situation.
It's so weird because I don't get that type of from anyone else.
Is that after you say hi?
Yeah.
Okay,
or just a greeting of some sort.
I might be guilty of making this face, but I do it to white people as well. When I walk down the street, I'll be like, I'll do this. It's like a closed lip smile and a brief nod like this.
Uh-huh. Oh, I don't always get the nod. Sometimes I just get the...
But what it is for me is it's my way of being like, hey, I see you. You owe me nothing. We don't need to engage in conversation. Mm-hmm. If you'd like to, I've now opened the door. I'm acknowledging you as an equal and as a human being. I see you, but... We're going to go about our lives. It's very complicated in my head, but it's supposed to be like, and I do it to like literally every race. It's a hello, I am seeing you, but we don't need to talk.
It's like when you make eye contact, for some reason, you need to somehow like give a smile, like an improving. Like, we know we're not going to talk. It is hard to explain.
Yeah.
We know we're not going to talk, but it's kind of like a, hey.
It's your way of not being a D word. Like, I'm acknowledging you and seeing you, but I'm not in a position to have a conversation right now, but I don't want to blow you off and ghost you.
Right, and I don't expect you to have a conversation. We don't need to be besties, but I want you to know that I respect you as another human being, so I acknowledge your presence.
Yeah, that's usually the face I make in the hallway when I'm, like, going to go get coffee or something, and then someone says hey to me. It's like, hey, acknowledging you, but I really don't want to talk right now, so... Please ignore me.
You do make that thing.
I do make that thing.
I gotta tell you, I got the nice the translation there. So that's not on Google Translation. I didn't know what that was.
For me, it's like at the gym also, like when you're passing somebody and you lock eyes for just a second, there's like this acknowledgement. It's almost like it's just an acknowledgement.
It's a form of respect in a way.
Yeah.
Like almost like I respect your presence here and I'm not blowing you off.
Black people do not make this face to other black people.
No. If we do anything is... We do that.
Yeah, that's what I do.
I remember a comedian. I don't remember who it was, but they distinguished the difference in being black and acknowledging another black person and a white person, and it's usually opposite. Like, because
typically, like, two black people, you go head up with a smile. Like,
yeah,
what up?
Yeah.
And then if you see a white person, you go head nod with a serious face.
Yeah.
And it's true. Yeah. It's like, I don't know why it's like that, but that's the thing.
The Burt Show.
Christmas is coming up, and, you know, Santa will be bringing gifts for, you know, my children, sure. I'm sure. Maybe some coal, but
you have good kids.
Yeah, I do. I feel really obligated. My 3-year-old is very, very passionate about what she wants.
And is she a 3-year-old that as soon as she gets on the thought of something, that's the only thing in the head? That's it?
Like most 3-year-olds, I guess. But, you know, so my daughter's name is Kieran. And I think in Irish, it means the little dark one. that's what it is. And so, and she is kind of, she has this little dark side to her, like, Halloween the previous, she was Chucky. Now, that was part us, because, you know, but it fit the bill. This year, she wanted to be Wednesday.
Okay.
And I mean, favorite movies, Nightmare Before Christmas, over and over. Wednesday, Addams Family. So everything she likes is on the darker side of things.
I remember when Hayden was younger and he was always identifying with the villains in movies and villains in like anime. I was like, what have I done? And who is he going to turn into?
Yeah, and I don't know that Wednesday is necessarily a villain. But as soon as we get in my car, she's like, put on Bloody Mary, which is Lady Gaga, the Bloody Mary song. And there's a fast version. She's like, the fast one. She just loves it. Uh-huh. And then you hear her singing in the back. Well, she wants a Addams Family dollhouse.
Okay.
And I mean, yeah, you can go on Etsy and there's like some cardboard, like, but she wants like an official dollhouse.
Okay.
Like,
which does not exist.
Which really does not exist. And she's like, I want a big Wednesday with the red eyes. And I'm like, I don't know that there is a Wednesday with the red eyes.
Well, this isn't on you though. She's 3, right? This is on Santa. So Santa can't get this done.
But I do get gifts. Yeah, you're right. I mean, it is on Santa. I mean, I could.
Well, Santa has a workshop with elves, and sometimes they go to Facebook Marketplace, and they can find dollhouses, and you can spray paint them. The elves spray paint them and paint them and create different themes.
So you could turn like a...
You could turn a Barbie house into a Wednesday house.
There you go.
Yeah, the Wednesday house is a little unique in its design compared to a typical, you know, I guess, I mean, I could create a Nightmare on Elm Street house, too. I mean, it's just like that. But it's just a little bit different, I mean, like, than a typical.
I think you put this on Santa's list, and it's out of your hands, man.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm feeling a lot of pressure. Because I want this to come through for her because I know how bad she wants it. But it's like, I don't know where to go.
Well, let's break this down. Okay, if she doesn't get this, it's not going to change her life in any way, shape, or form.
It's
going to
ruin my life.
I understand. you want the best for your kid, really. But at the end of the day, at 3 years old, if she doesn't get this, she will not have a radio show in 20 years going, oh my God, my dad sucked. He hated me because I didn't get this.
Well, also, there are Santa's elves are roaming around everywhere. And maybe one of them is listening right now. That could offer you a little advice.
Yeah, or help. Please help.
I feel like somebody could make that happen.
Yeah, yeah. And yeah, so.
Yeah, if anybody's been listening for the last 9 minutes and can do that, they already know you're a sucker when it comes to money.
Yeah, I mean, you essentially could swipe my credit card and walk away and the house completely fall down. And I would be,
extra for.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I'm sure you've done a deep dive online trying to, like, who do you hire?
I think Etsy had some, like, kind of, Cassie's got something. What, Cassie, did you find something?
Yeah, I have an elf friend who told me that there are Santa sometimes employs custom dollhouse makers.
Oh, really?
Who will build custom houses in his workshop when the elves are, you know, really busy making all the rest of the toys.
Really?
Uh-huh. Wow. So you can go and talk to the elves who will talk to the custom dollhouse makers, and they can make these really cool custom builds for you.
Well, someone hit me up if you hear it.
Can you also do a quick search on that and just find out how much one of those custom houses costs?
$2,500. It depends what you get. So some of them are
less than a dead dog.
All right.
Thank you, Kristen. You know what? It's silver lining. I appreciate that.
Where does the darkness come from?
I bring it. I think I brought it.
You really do?
I brought it in with me, essentially. I only have to go 20 more seconds and then you guys can get out of this. But no, it's, I mean, I just feel pressure to do it. And so if anybody has any lines on any wood working elves, I would love to speak with him.
At some point, maybe another time, we should ask like parents what's the most money they spent on a child under 5 years old, because this child is not going to remember this gift in a couple of years.
No.
And you're about to shell out $2,500.
Oh, no, I'm not. Oh, no, I'm not.
The Bird Show.
Some crimes are never forgotten. Others are lost to history. Those are the ones we focus on in Crimes of the Centuries, a history meets true crime podcast revisiting murders, trials, and frauds that once dominated headlines. I'm Amber Hunt, your host and a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist. If you like true crime that feels both cinematic and historical, find Crimes of the Centuries wherever you get your podcasts.